In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. I bring you greetings from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Glassboro, where at this very moment, Father Chuck is leading a service very similar to this one. I'm thrilled to be here with you this morning, and even more thrilled that Father Chuck is there in Glassboro. Chuck and I, along with several other local priests, get together most weeks for prayer and Bible study. And that has become an important part of the rhythm of my life, something that empowers me and encourages me for ministry in this place. And often, when our little group meets together and we hear Chuck speak up with his understandings of Scripture, I say to myself, St. Thomas needs to hear Chuck Messer. We each bring our own strengths, our own perspectives, our own understandings of Scripture. And I believe that St. Thomas will be better off for having heard the particular ways in which the Holy Spirit chooses to speak through Chuck this morning. And my prayer is that that same Spirit might, by the grace of God, empower me to utter some word that might be profitable for you as well. Now, when Courtney got here this morning, she said, "I pulled in the parking lot and there were no other cars. I'm wondering, where's this priest? All there was a motorcycle." That was mine. I remember the very first time, not the very first time, I remember the first time I really noticed a motorcycle. Motorcycles have always been around, right? As long as I've been alive. And when I was a little child, an adult friend of my parents had one, and I was permitted to ride for about 100 yards on the back of it, but nothing else. And so I'd never really been interested until one day, as I was approaching the age of 16, I'm sitting in the back of my parents' car, parked at a Wawa in Newark, Delaware, and this motorcycle pulls up and parks beside us. And in fact, it was a BMW motorcycle. And it was beautiful. Right? There was this visceral reaction inside of me. And yet, I knew better than this. My parents would never let me ride that. But then just a few years later, I went to college. In college, it was actually a friend from church who taught me how to ride. And so then on the weekends, we'd go riding in the mountains of Southwest Virginia. During the summers, I would make long distance road trips to visit family throughout the Deep South and here on the East Coast. And by the time I graduated, I had no car anymore. I just had a motorcycle as I moved first to Delaware for a job and then to Texas for seminary. Now, I've always argued for the practical nature of my choice to ride a motorcycle, but I think that I'm the only one who's ever believed me. Motorcycling, I have to admit, is kind of an identity that I've embraced. It's a way that others know me, and it's a way that I know myself. Now, late-stage capitalism is the water in which we swim. It's the backdrop against which we tell our stories, the way that we know ourselves. And so we as consumers, we pledge our allegiance to BMW or to Harley Davidson, right? To Ford or to Chevy, right? To the Eagles or to the Cowboys. We're loyal to our familiar brands and our favorite stores. Sometimes even our approach to church is as a consumer, right? We get to choose between being Anglicans or Evangelicals or Romans or Orthodox, right? These are all kind of brands of Christianity. And we choose one and then we profess intense loyalty to it against all the others. And so it turns out that we are where we kneel. Right? We are what we buy. We are what we wear. We are what we ride. And yet the call of God, The call of God has always been to anchor ourselves, to find our identity, to know ourselves, to depend upon God. God and nothing else. And so I feel like we here today have some pretty strong ground from which to understand what Jesus is saying in today's gospel reading. When Jesus tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because the ways that we choose to spend our money are how we define to ourselves and to the world who we are. Right? Money is a cipher for our own worth, our own values, our own identities. And often we use money to purchase an understanding of who we are. Now, money is also a pipeline to whom we are becoming. Right? A smart charity will ask you just to give a little bit because they know that once you give a little bit, that begins to integrate that charity with your identity so that the next time they ask, you're ready to give a little bit more. Right? And then the time after that, you're ready maybe to start giving regularly. Right? And before you know it, you are telling others about this good work that you are doing with this charity simply by sending in your check each month. Because where you put your money, even if you put it there a little unwillingly at first, where you put your money, your heart follows. Now, this is why giving to the church makes so much sense, right? Who should ever be on vestry who isn't going to give a significant proportional amount of their own resources for the ministry of the church? It just makes sense. We show what's important to us by putting our money there, whether it be a boat or a house or a car or an education or maybe a ring that signifies an important relationship. Right? The things that are important to us, that's where we put our money. The bishop who ordained me once said that for a priest to not know how much each parishioner is pledging, both historically and to date, is spiritual malpractice. Right? It's like going to the doctor and the doctor doesn't bother taking your temperature or testing your blood pressure. Right? These are kind of these basic, oh-so-telling metrics of health. And this can be good news, right? Because one thing I hear Jesus saying is that if I want to be sure about where my heart is, right, if I want to set my identity firmly within the kingdom of God, then in a manner of speaking, I might be able to spend my way into security. Right? If I give to Jesus, which is widely understood as giving to the church, then my heart's going to follow. And I'll know for sure that I have treasure, which is to say, a bespoke retirement plan in heaven. And this is all true to a point. Giving to the church is good and important, and I would say critical, as part of the path toward discipleship. It's a more or less necessary part of how someone living in a capitalist society becomes a follower of Christ. But it can also be deceiving. Right? That's what our first lesson this morning was about. The lesson from Isaiah, remember? Isaiah speaks of God's disgust with the people's worship and God's demand for a different kind of gift. God invites God's people to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, to defend the orphan, to plead for the widow. Putting one's treasure into these things will truly join one's heart to the heart of God. And by treasure, I'm talking about whatever it is that you value. Right? What do you conserve? What do you take care of? Is it your time? Is it your energy? Is it your attention? Is it your care and concern? And yes, is it your money? Now, if the church is doing all the things that Isaiah speaks of, right? If the church is seeking justice and rescuing the oppressed and defending the orphan and pleading for the widow, then the church might be an important part of your portfolio of investment into alignment with the heart of God. Just like a mutual fund can help you to capture a larger piece of the financial markets. But the point of giving is not just to signal your virtue, right? It's not just passing a litmus test for goodness or holiness. It's not about laundering your reputation like a robber baron who likes to build libraries. It's about meeting God by engaging in the works of God and by loving the people that God created. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. On what do we as a nation spend our treasure? I'm talking about both government spending and also the lobbyist and campaign spending that goes on. Right? That's where our national heart is. How do you feel about that? What is God calling you to do about that? On what do we as a church spend our treasure? Right from our church budgets and our special contributions? What do we learn about where our heart is as a church by looking at that budget that was approved by Vestry? What is God calling you to do about that? I'm told that VBS is starting here tomorrow. That seems like a great place to start investing in the work of God, no? On what do we as families and individuals spend our treasure? Where is your identity? Where is your passion? Where is your commitment? Now, don't tell me about your feelings, right? Feelings can be deceptive. Oh, this is really important to me. I think that is critical. Go home, read your credit card statements. Review your checkbooks. Right, look at your calendar, your day planner, and review those to-do lists. Those things will tell you truly and honestly what is important to you. And then you can take that information and you get to decide what to do with it. What is God calling you to do? God's invitation is to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, and to care for the vulnerable. Because if we put our treasure there, then our heart will follow. And when our heart is close to the heart of God, that seems like a pretty good place to be. Amen.